Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Strengthening Lives with Love podcast, brought to you by the Joshua York Legacy Foundation. If it's your first time tuning in, this podcast is dedicated to increasing suicide awareness and prevention through outreach, education, and improving mental health care accessibility. If you're interested in being a guest with us on the podcast, visit our website, www.joshuayorkfoundation.org/be our guest, and let's see what we can do to make that happen.
So today we actually have with us two special guests, Jessica and Michael Dominguez, and they're from Flower Mound, Texas, and they actually run a nonprofit called Tiny EV Rocks. They're a nonprofit on a mission to provide hope to those impacted by suicide through acts of kindness and love. Through these acts, they hope to bring awareness to the community and strive to remove the stigmas associated with mental illness and suicide. So first off, Jessica, Michael, thank you both so much for being with us. If you could go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on May 20th of last year, our 12-year-old daughter died from suicide. And needless to say, the weeks after that, extremely dark moments, but in those moments, there was always a friend or a neighbor or one of Evie's classmates that would show up and provide just enough light to get us through that moment. And at her memorial service, some of our friends and neighbors actually brought some kindness rocks to her memorial service. You know, here's like the very first one that we found. It's a little ladybug. And our 5-year-old granddaughter saw this and was like, "Granny, what is this?
What the heck, Granny?
So it just opened a whole conversation about learning about kindness rocks. And our neighbors and friends brought like these and left them here too. And that's what we learned about kindness rocks. And so a friend of ours from Toastmasters shared and invited us to a paint party. And after that, just painted the very first little heart. And we hit it on one of the trails around here. And from there, we just kept painting. And we found it was truly grief therapy for us. It helped us give an outlet and to honor Evie and to pay it forward for all the people that helped us in those initial weeks. And then we started getting messages back from people just talking about how it made their day or how it brightened their mood and just made a difference. And so that inspired us to keep going. And so we continued to have rock painting, and neighbors would come over, we'd do rock painting parties with them. We'd go and hide like a couple hundred at a time around Flower Mound. Yeah. And everybody just seemed to really enjoy it. And from there, we just have continued over the last year. And in fact, it was May 20th of this year for the 1-year anniversary. We hid like 650 rocks all over Dallas.
Yeah, it took 9.5 hours.
And
it was a long day.
It just skyrocketed after that. The response was overwhelming. And it just truly led us to believe that we really could make a difference and honor Evie. You know, every time somebody finds one of these little rocks, they know who she is. And
now it leads to our page where we talk about, you know, what happened to her and who she was. And we try to bring a little bit of awareness to the community and the world about suicide and start a conversation, because there is such a stigma and we'd like to strive to remove that.
And we've filed with the IRS
July 2nd.
And even since then, we've created 3 kindness gardens in our community, one in Halton City, one in Prosper, and one in Louisville. And it's so funny, too, because the guys at the stone places where we set these gardens up, they love those gardens. We have pulled up and they're just sitting out there admiring, and they're like, hey, somebody took that Pikachu. I liked that one. You know? Yeah. And so we're like, all right, we promise we'll paint you a new one, or what bands do you like? Yeah. And so we'll paint special ones for them, just, you know, their favorite things.
Just to be sure everybody knows where to find you, because, you know, as we talk about Facebook, you know, there's groups and there's pages, and I'm out there looking right now, and you're as a, set up as a page, right? So www.facebook.com/tinyevierocks, T-I-N-Y-E-V-I-E rocks, all one word, in case you want to go out and check out their page. I've been watching and tracking you guys since I found you.
Thank you.
And, you know, I see you got some nice growth on your likes and follows. Hopefully this just is another way to skyrocket and get your message out there. You know, if you don't know, yeah, I've been tracking rock painting groups for 2 years now. And out of the over 10,000 that I've landed on, at one point or another, there's only about 25 groups and a handful of pages, you know, probably less than a dozen that I've come across that are specific to suicide prevention. So thank you for taking the time to, you know, raise awareness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are doing incredible, and being able to talk to you and have that connection, and just someone that understands and understand what it's like to do a nonprofit based around that.
We look up to you as a role model for what we hope to accomplish in our own little area.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I think working together in the area of suicide prevention is the key in my personal opinion. You know, I think I've been, actually, after I spoke to you, you inspired me to take and go out to the groups that are out there and send them a list of all the other groups that are doing suicide prevention, because, you know, having talked to you and you just getting started made me realize I have a part to play in this, that I can help you all grow. And that's why on Suicide Prevention Rocks, we actually encourage people to put up a painted rock and tag their group, because this message really can't be done by any one person or one group. And at the level, the grassroots level that you're working at, that we're working at, you know, we really need to help each other as much as we can to save lives. So thank you again. Tell us about Evie. You know, you told us that she passed on May 20th, 12 years old. You know, do you have an idea of what brought her to this point?
Well, it's so hard to say. It's so many different things. As you know, I mean, as our kids grow up and they get to those preteen years, and hormones hit, they start to change into different people. And that definitely happened to her. She went from being wearing dresses and being girly and snuggling on the couch after school to don't touch me. You know, I want to wear black. I'm never wearing a dress again in my entire life. And started struggling, I'd say, I guess it's sixth grade, really. Yeah. The beginning of sixth grade. I found 12 different versions of a suicide note in her trash can. She could never get it perfect. So she wrote goodbye on her arm, and we took her to the hospital, and she was really struggling with school.
She had severe social anxiety, and just walking through the hall with so many people was just so overwhelming for her.
Yeah.
And she just felt so small. And so school, getting her to want to go to school became a huge challenge.
Yeah. And when we took her to the hospital, she told them she didn't have a plan. She couldn't complete the note, so she was never going to follow through. And they sent her home. And so for the rest of the school year, we fought that, you know, we took her to psychiatrists, therapists, and, you know, two different therapists.
She was in the 501c program at school to try to get into a smaller class environment. Just meeting with the school counselor.
It's the 504.
Oh,
she was on a 504.
Okay.
She wasn't in a nonprofit at school. No, she was in. She had like a class, which what they called BASE.
Yeah.
And it was a low stimulus type of class where she could just stay in there and go when she was having a lot of anxiety, and then more and more she would just try to stay in there all day.
Yeah.
Physically going into the classroom for her was painful. And, you know, the teachers, I think, did the best they could, but she begged on a daily basis to be homeschooled. And by the time we got to the end of the school year, it was the week of finals. She was supposed to go to school and take her own finals. I literally had up on my screen information about homeschool because there was no way she was going to pass. She missed a lot of days of school.
She missed the STARS test. So she was looking at having to take that, take summer school. We didn't know if she would be able to pass to the next grade. And it was, I think there was things like that that just seemed so unsurmountable or so big.
Yeah. And she was trying to find herself. You know, it seemed like every week she wanted to be somebody different. I don't like my clothes. You need to buy me different clothes like every month. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't afford to re-wardrobe my kid every month. And she would, you know, she would like a band. We'd buy her posters for it. And then the next week she'd take them down. It's not my favorite band anymore. So she just was constantly trying to figure out who she was. And I think she just didn't see a way out. And I literally spent that whole year lying awake at night, wondering if I was going to find her in the morning, until it did happen. Even no matter how much help that we gave her or loved her, or try to accept who she was trying to become. And, you know, how much you want to help them. It happened across the hall from us.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know.
Well, it sounds like you did your best to be on top of it. And, you know, not everyone gets that opportunity. And, you know, I would like to, you know, personally give you my condolences from one surviving family to another. We know the difficulty of it. And, the temptation to constantly, you know, question what could we have done different. And, you know, hopefully if you haven't figured this part out yet, hopefully you'll start thinking about it, because having been an investigator and in the military as a commander, I can tell you without a note, there's always a question that can be asked. No, regardless of the circumstances. Yeah. And the part that I commend you on is you're taking your pain and turning it positive and taking action. And that's healing in itself. It turns those questions into successes. You know, the knowledge that you can affect another family, another person, the way your family has been affected, just finding those rocks, it's real. You know, you see it. And that's why you're repeating it. And I think, you know, you should be commended for that as one of the groups of people who recognize it, that the benefit you received and what you can do for others.
Thank you so much. You're so kind.
I was going to say, there's quite literally not many people in the world that can do what all of us do, really. Like Bill said, there's less than 25 other groups in the world.
Yeah. So. That's a lot at all, considering how many rock groups there are, you know, to concentrate on this. And some days it's really hard because it's a constant reminder that she's gone. But in the same turn, it's also a way to have her with us.
Yeah.
And like give us purpose.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that. And Josh and all of our family, we do consider many people our family that we've chosen, not that we were born with. And when we bring folks into our envelope, we certainly believe that, having that memory around doing things in their memory to help others keeps the soul close. I don't even know if you have to be, I personally am not a huge church goer. I do have a belief in a higher power in God. And to me, it keeps me close to that. It prevents the hole from getting bigger. I feel it's a hole that never closes.
Yeah.
It does get smaller, but it never closes, and it gets less painful, over time.
I think the way we've described it, the purpose overpowers or overshadows the pain.
Yeah.
And I'll jump on to say I've said this probably 100 times, but from the start, the rock painting thing, it's never really been my thing, so to speak, as far as painting rocks. But I lean more towards the tech side and that kind of stuff. But really the power behind it is the fact that it opens up insane amounts of conversation.
Absolutely.
And it changes as it did for you two, and us as well. Like, it changes the direction of people's lives. It saves people's lives. There's many stories within our group where we've unfortunately had to save lives, and it's a conversation starter. And it works. 33,000 people plus will tell you that it works. So
yeah. The some of the best conversations happen while you're painting rocks. Yeah. And if
absolutely.
You're your kids, it's certainly a way to open up conversations and talk about what happened, or talk about how you can turn that into something positive and spread some love and some hope, which, man, a lot of people need some hope right now. It's a hard world, and there's a lot of hard stuff going on. And if we can do our small part to put something out there that lets someone know they're loved, and sometimes that's all it takes, just that one small thing, the one little heart rock that says you're loved on the back, so they know someone loves them. And we do. We genuinely care, and gotten to have some great conversations because of it. The best conversations happen while you're painting.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You're about a year old, and I know with us, when we first talked, Jessica, I told you about how we take it out to the public in festivals in our local community. We've taken it to high schools when they've had a suicide within their ranks. We've actually brought it in as a way to get the children interacting and talking about it. They created a garden in front of their high school out of it. We've taken it to colleges and spoke to college students. So, yeah, I don't know what's around you, but I'd love to hear more about how you're getting it out there. Maybe you got an idea that I haven't heard or tried yet. And I certainly am willing to share any information I can with you from the information that I've collected and gathered over the last 2 years, so that you may find another way to grow and expand the message that you share.
One of the projects we're actually working on now, and we're planning for October, it's really hard to do a big rock hiding party in light of the pandemic and what's going on in the world. So we came up with this idea of doing something called Love the City, where we'll have like a bunch of bags with 11 rocks in each bag, one for the person to keep and then 10 to hide. And so we would just have people sign up and they could say, yeah, I'm interested in getting one of these bags. And so we do a social distancing thing where they could pull up, we could put the bag in their trunk or their back seat, and then they can go off and hide the 10 rocks wherever, just all over the city. And we're talking about doing hearts and semicolons. Yeah. And so just imagine you get 50 people who come and pick up this bag and hide 10 rocks all over Flower Mound. So, you know, 500 rocks hidden all over the city just through this one little drive-by rock party.
Yeah. Right. No, that's awesome.
But it'd be a problem to figure out how to paint 1,000 rocks.
I was actually going to ask a question on that because I was looking at the rock gardens that you guys have made. And first off, they're gorgeous.
Thank you.
The two of you, are you painting all of these rocks or do you have a community of other people who are painting them with you? Or
we painted most of those ourselves. Our daughter Allie helped us with a lot of them, especially on the Rainbow Rock Garden. She designed that one. One of our board members, Susan Sigler, who painted the ladybug rock we showed you. She's our secretary on our board of directors, and she's painted a lot of rocks for our gardens.
And then our daughter, Lauren, and our neighbors.
Yes.
It's kind of a running joke. If somebody comes to our house now, it's like, yeah, we're going to need you to paint 50 rocks. They just kind of roll their eyes at me.
So listen, folks, anybody who is watching this live or listens to it, once it's posted onto our website, these folks need some help painting rocks. So if you feel up to it, reach out to Tiny Evie Rocks and offer to paint a small box. I know we are doing through AIRS. We rock the world for suicide prevention on September 10th. We coordinate that internationally and we're working towards a Guinness World Record for the largest display of painted rocks. And we're getting many of those sent to us. And through
we're sending you a box. Yes,
we're actually putting a box together right now.
Awesome.
I was going to show you a couple that we're going to put in that box.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I love the
that's love awesome. The
it's beautiful.
So,
here's my call out for you guys. Yeah, we're getting hundreds of rocks, and I got two boxes a week ago with 172 rocks in it. Those two boxes cost the group $30.10 to ship from the western part of the country to us. So these folks need some rocks. They're doing some great work in Texas. If we can get people to contact them, get the mailing address, send them, doesn't have to be a huge box, a small box. Every rock helps, right?
Absolutely. Our address is actually on, it's on our website, tinyevyrocks.org.
All right. Well,
if it's not up there, I'll get it up there.
Okay. And let me see if it's on your Facebook page here. No, you may want to try to add that to your Facebook page. Cause I think you're going to get, people helping you out.
Awesome.
And you know, we'd love to hear back from you. Share your pictures on our page when people send them in,
Absolutely.
We've been able to help other groups, in certain times, either, obtain some rocks, relative to a recent suicide and you're helping people all around. And if you have the chance, get up to Fort Worth, the side of town, they have a lot of rockers up there.
Yes.
Yes.
And a lot of tourists.
We had fun for Father's Day this year. Evie used to just roll her eyes and laugh because I was notorious for the cheesy dad jokes. So we painted almost 100 rocks with cheesy dad jokes and hid them all over the Fort Worth stockyards. And I could just hear her laughing. And, you know, you talk about feeling that connection. And me and Evie used to talk about music for hours and go and look at all the CDs and things. And so I would love to paint bands and music things. And I could just see her smile for those music related ones. And, you know, the cheesy dad jokes, I could just hear her laugh. And so we had more fun for Father's Day that really turned what could have been a depressing day into a fun one, because we hadn't even left Fort Worth yet. And we were already getting messages back from people saying, I found this. I loved it. Thank you.
Yeah.
So
I have to ask you, have you gotten to the point, and I take this from my own experience, if I get somebody calls me up and says, hey, I got a rock, a flower bed with a bunch of rocks in it. I'm looking to get rid of them. Would you be interested in them? Do you go out and pick them up for them?
people want us to set up personal rock gardens for them all the time.
There you go. And how about like with painting, you said you know, basically somebody comes into your house, you're like, oh, could you paint us 50 rocks? You know, do you have people that you're coming over and you're giving rocks to, or are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And once in a while, we feel really connected with someone. We'll send them a box of rocks for the, you know, keep them, hide some. I've painted some for my boss and her husband to hide. And a lot of times our neighbors, Deanna, might come over and paint with us, and I have to steal one of theirs sometimes because it's awesome. And we've put in their rocks in our rock gardens or in our personal rock garden, and they've been great.
Do you find now that you have rocks everywhere you look?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we do.
You're in, I'm going to miss the name of the town again, Flower Mound, Texas. Mm-hmm. And you said that's south of Dallas?
It's about 30 miles north of Dallas.
30 miles north. Okay.
Yes.
So do you guys have the opportunity to travel out of your state? You know, can people... Because, you know, people always ask, where do you hide your rocks? So we've talked Flower Mound, Dallas, Fort Worth. Is there any place else people in Texas can come looking if they're in that area to look for one of your rocks?
We've got three rock gardens. We've hidden all over Dallas. We've hidden Fort Worth. For Christmas, we escaped to an Airbnb and up in Hot Springs. We hid them there. And we've had people travel with them to Hawaii, Egypt, Paris, London.
We've had some that we hid like down in San Antonio back in the fall that ended up in New Mexico or in Glen Rose. It's just fun to see where they end up sometimes.
I sent a box to Missouri.
Yes.
So who knows where they'll end up?
There's always the people, obviously, that find the rocks and keep them because they think that they're so gorgeous. But it's awesome. That's so true. It's awesome seeing the people that change the location of them. We had, probably hundreds or thousands of them at this point. But I remember earlier on, there was one rock that someone had painted and left on a mountain in... don't remember where.
Colorado, Red Rock Canyon.
Thank you. Wow. And they left it, you know, at one part in the mountain and posted a photo of it on Suicide Prevention Rocks. And I want to say like 2 hours later, someone else posted a photo of it as well because someone else had found it and moved it up higher. And people just kept finding it and moving it higher up on this mountain and posting the photos.
That's incredible.
With all new people, obviously. And it was so cool.
And her fiance at the time, you know, they went and climbed a mountain and they sent us a picture of the tiny Evie rock at the top of some mountain that they had gone to.
In Colorado, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool to watch them travel. And that's the best thing is watching them touch people's lives. But you do have those people that do like to hoard them, like you said.
So I got a question that came up on our Facebook feed, and they're asking, what is the label that you put on your rocks on the back?
So on the back, here's the one for you guys. We put a little message on the back, and then we put at Tiny Evie Rocks, or sometimes I write tinyevierocks.org, but we usually put some kind of message of hope or love or, you know, awareness on the back. A quote, but we do put our web, you know, our at Tiny Evie Rocks. Cause if you type that in, you can see that we have Instagram, Facebook, a website.
Like here's another example, Evie Love, Starry Night and Alpacas. So I decided to have a little fun and actually combine the two. And so on the back, I did a Vincent Van Gogh quote and it had said, if you hear a voice within you say you cannot paint, then by all means paint and that voice will be silenced.
So that's funny.
We just try to find little motivational or humorous sayings to put on the back of the rocks just to bring that smile or that encouragement for somebody that finds them.
And who doesn't love alpacas?
I mean,
exactly.
Right.
Well, that unicorn, I did a whole series with this. I had so much fun where I was painting Starry Night with unicorns, cats, rocket ships.
reminds me of who was the gentleman that used to paint on TV and like, don't know what it was about his, what's that?
Bob Ross.
Yes. The Bob Ross videos. I have no idea how he kept people so engaged, but it was like therapy just to watch him paint.
It's his voice.
Even yeah. Bob Ross. And so I've actually had to paint a few in honor just for her.
Pictures of Bob Ross painting.
That's funny.
Dad jokes.
Yes.
He may or may not have Rickrolled some people on some rocks as well.
Oh, yes.
So, like literally painted rocks, Rickrolling. That's pretty
funny. Yes.
That's pretty funny.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. If there's any one message or two messages that you would like to get out to, you know, people who may find your rocks, the people in general, mm-hmm. you know, because not just rock painters eventually may listen to this. What would that be?
You're not alone.
Yeah, you're not.
There are so many people out there that you can reach out to find comfort and the strength to get you through those moments. There are people that have been through that and are dedicated to helping other people. And you can be inspired by their stories. It's just reaching out when you are in that place. So I would just say, just reach out.
And also strive every day to find some kind of light. You have to stay in the light. There's so much darkness when you're dealing with suicidal thoughts, depression, or when you've lost someone to suicide, and the tendency is to go to the darkness. But these rocks have kept us in the light. And if you need to hold that rock every day and see that message, and it helps keep you in the light, that's how you're going to keep going.
Yeah, the beauty of a rock is, you know, many therapists will recommend having a small grounding rock in your pocket because it's part of the earth and it's tangible, it's hard, it's got weight to it, and all of those things can keep you in the present. And I absolutely, you know, agree with what you're saying. None of us are ever alone. I just spoke to someone this morning and was telling them, you know, there are billions of people in the world. Every single person on this earth has some bout of mental illness, whether it be depression, anxiety, or something at some point in their life. You know, the challenge is getting it past, you know, if it keeps coming back. And, you know, most often those challenges come from a close personal death or some kind of financial situation, an injury, you know, and we all experience that at some point. So, you know, reaching out to people who you can trust to share your emotions with really can help you get out of that dark spot. You know, it's a lot easier, unfortunately. I think we're wired as humans. It's a lot easier to tell ourselves the bad things than recognize all the wonderful things that we do. And I think hopefully you had a similar experience, but I think when people find themselves in a dark space alone, telling themselves the negative thoughts and getting in that rotational track of that, they forget how many other lives they've touched. And, you know, just like you guys, I guarantee you will touch hundreds and thousands of lives just with tiny EV rocks. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And obviously it brings you joy. I can see it in your faces.
Yeah, it does.
I can't tell you how many hours we turned the upstairs bedroom into an art room. And so we have a table and just tons of paint, and we were able to transform the room into something positive that we could feel good about. And through this pandemic, when everybody's been quarantined, that's been a huge blessing for us because we've just gone upstairs. And, you know, it was so funny because even like this year for my birthday, we couldn't go anywhere. And lo and behold, one of the transformers in our neighborhood blew out. So we didn't have any power. But yet here it is, we're sitting around with flashlights, just painting and having a good time. And it was one of the best memories of a birthday And yeah, a long time.
We had more fun
just sitting around painting rocks by flashlight that night.
I have to laugh at that because you're talking about you have a dedicated space in your house, and he's chuckling because he knows I'm about to call him out for it. You guys are like a spitting image of each other because it's the same thing in their house. If you go there, their entire basement has transformed into this like art gala, whatever you want to call it. There's canvases with painting everywhere. There's paint everywhere. There's paint stands. There's like canvas.
Normal.
don't forget to paint on the floor.
All around the floor and stuff like that. And then to take it to the next notch, when it comes to paint and like owning paint and, you know, that kind of thing. A couple months back, we're at a craft store of sorts, and like, you can never have enough paint. Right. And like, I never thought you could either, until they're running a sale on paint and you go and you buy like 500 bottles of white paint. So we're going to rock the world.
So you gotta hear the whole story. Okay. Was it Michael's or the other one? There's two Michael's and one of them went out of business in Maryland. And so I go in there and I was looking for shelves to put all these paints on. So I bought a couple shelves, bought with paints and paintbrushes I have, because when we go out, we take paintbrushes, you know, stuff like that. And as I'm walking out the store, the front of the store is just four shelves, quart bottles of white paint. And my wife had just told me, oh, you can never have enough white paint. So I said to the guy, yeah, how much for the paint? And he was like, we're selling $2 a bottle. And I said, oh, and I said, can you give me what your best price would be if I bought, say, 20 or 30 or 40 bottles? And he says, oh, I'd have to call the broker. And I said, okay. So he gets on the phone, he comes back, and he says, I can give it to you for $1 a bottle. I said, really? Did you tell him I'm a nonprofit? You know, that, and that's the best thing. He says, let me call her back. She comes back and says, she said, I can give it to you for 50 cents, but here's the catch. You'd have to buy all the bottles. And I said, okay.
No brainer.
it was about 600 bottles of white paint. So, but it was a great deal, right? Yeah. I mean, those bottles are normally $11.
And we use the bottles of paint on the wall.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
So, you know, you can never be too aggressive when you're getting a good deal. That's all. No.
And Candace tuned in. She said it was AC Moore, the store that you were trying to think of.
Right, AC Moore.
That's awesome.
It's been fun though, because at times getting ready for these rock gardens, we would just line all these painted rocks up along the door, the hallway by the front door. So if somebody would walk in and they'd almost have to tiptoe to get into their other room, because there are all these rocks just spread out everywhere.
Speaking of the rock gardens again, I was wondering, so first, how do you guys even coordinate that? How, if someone in your area wants to contact you to get a rock garden put in their storefront, wherever it is, how do they do that?
You can contact us from the website. We don't do personal rock gardens for people, but we could do it at a business. It has to be someplace that is accessible to the community so they can participate, because that's the whole purpose, is for them to be able to leave rocks and help spread kindness. And so people can get one, you know, if they need one or share one. All they have to do is contact us and we'll talk to them. We'll check out the space. We'll see if it's possible. We'll see if we can get enough people to help maintain it, because right now that's the problem. We need volunteers, because the two of us can't maintain 10 rock gardens on our own.
That being said, how do people volunteer?
There's a volunteer on our website. We have a get involved link. And you can send us a message, or my phone number is on there. You can call us or email us, and we'll call you back, or whatever your preferred method is. And
it has been fun. We have gone to restock some of the rock gardens, and we've seen several rocks where other people have contributed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they brought. So it's fun to see the new ones show up.
It is. Participate.
So if I'm, 1,000 miles away from Texas and I still want to, you try to help you guys out in some way, you know, do you have a link somewhere on one of your pages that would allow a cash donation?
Yeah, we have a donation link on our website.
Okay. You are just, again, for the record, you know, you are a federally registered 501c3.
We're pending. Yeah, we filled the paperwork. And so we're still waiting to get the official acceptance from the IRS. They pretty much have said, just act like you're fully functional until you get that.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know how long ago you filed it. I know in our case, we got very lucky with the timing of it. Maybe might have been the time of year, but it took us about a little over 60 days to hear a response back.
Okay.
So, yeah, hopefully you're not too far out from that.
We're about 6 weeks in from filing from when we filed so soon.
Right. So that's good news. The reason I brought that up is because I want people to know that you're doing it the right way. You know, there's plenty of folks out there who don't take the time to set up the legal requirements and protect not only themselves, but what they're trying to build. And that is part of the trust factor when you're donating to a nonprofit. And
absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So I want
people wanted to do our due diligence on that.
Yeah.
So do you, Josh, do you have any other questions that you'd like to ask at this time?
That actually answered all my questions. Jessica and Michael, did you guys have any parting words or anything like that you'd like to say?
We'd just like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to visit with you. And we certainly are inspired and look up to you and appreciate your site and everything that you're doing. You're a fantastic role model for us.
Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity and the opportunity to talk about Evie, because we love talking about her and spreading the kindness that she really believed that everybody deserved to have kindness and love. And so we just want to spread that. And so thank you for the opportunity to share that with everybody.
Well, we can definitely see where she got it from. Yeah. Yeah. The fact that you continue to do this and in her honor and memory, yeah, is just beautiful. I mean, it's how we got started, and I hope, we, you know, check in with you down the road and
absolutely.
Yeah. We'll look forward to adding your rocks to the Guinness World Record. As we do that, we will put, just so everybody else knows too, but with that record, we will put, into the donator's name, first, last name, city, state, country, and their home rock group. And that will be, once it's put up on our website, that will be an active link back to your site. So that's one of the incentives to you guys, is, you know, having that out there, people will be able to look up and find you. So we're trying to not only raise awareness by having the Guinness record, but also, like, you guys are from Texas. Once the event's over with, we're going to contact your governor and say, hey, we would like to offer you to repatriate the rocks donated from Texas back to Texas, to be able to take that to the next level and bring it back to the states, you know, and give you guys an opportunity to, you know, maybe they'll do it in hopes of maybe having invite you out, or at least contact you for a news article. We want this thing to spread back to every state where it originally came, the rocks, and same with the countries. We're going to be contacting the embassy, since we're so close to DC. You know, our goal is to not have 10,000 rocks to lay around Baltimore and surrounding areas. It's to really get the message out, just like you guys are doing every day. And, always willing to partner with you. So, you know, if there's anything we can ever do for you, please reach out to us. If you're having a prize and we can get you some, you know, bracelets or a t-shirt as a prize to get people painting more rocks for you, be more than glad to send that to you. So,
That'd be great.
Don't ever be afraid to reach out.
Oh, we will. Same here.
There was just one last question from someone on the Facebook, Michelle. You can actually visit our website and there's a link where you can find out. She asked, where should I mail rocks for the Guinness that you were talking about? There's a link on our website, joshuaerickfoundation.org, where you can actually get that information.
And I can give you the address right now if you'd like.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, it's 1912 Barron's Circle, B-A-R-R-E-N-S, and it's Flower Mound, Texas, 75028.
And that is to send rocks directly to Tiny Evie Rocks to help them build their rock gardens and spread their message in Central Texas and as far out as they travel and get those rocks going out. You know, we can all appreciate the amount of work that you guys are putting into it. We know it personally. It takes a lot of personal time, a lot of conviction, a lot of energy. And the folks who find those rocks, I guarantee you can feel that.
And with that being said, Jessica, Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. To our listeners, again, this is the Strengthening Lives with Love podcast brought to you by the Joshua York Legacy Foundation. Until next time, have a great day.